Welcome to the Career Change Podcast, where you'll discover the frank and practical advice and resources that are already proven to work in the real world when it comes to changing careers or figuring out what business is right for you when you are a smart but likely also stuck, overwhelmed or overthinking person in your mid-30s, your 40s, your mid-50s. I'm your host, Ricky Hansen, a career change advisor, entrepreneur and former corporate HR professional with over 15 years experience of helping thousands of people just like you identify or create careers or businesses that are both meaningful and future-proof. Welcome home. Hey, it's Ricky here. Welcome to episode 52 of the Career Change Podcast, How to Escape the Safe Pair of Hands Job Trap. Now, when I first sat down to write the notes for this episode, I really wanted the title to be much longer, but that doesn't work inside of podcasting apps. But let me tell you what the first title I wrote down was, because it really encapsulates what this particular episode is about. So here we go. Permission to move on instead of continuing to unofficially run the show at work, whilst also being the undervalued or underpaid and highly resentful employee and right hand to a bullying idiot of a boss in a toxic work culture and or profession that's making you lose confidence in your abilities and making you second guess yourself. Do I have your attention now? Now, if it doesn't resonate, don't worry. There are loads of other episodes for you. But if you can relate this thing to this thing about running the show but not being valued for it, then this is an important episode for you. There's loads of things that you can do. Another title could also just be tired of being a safe pair of hands at work and feeling like you're losing confidence. Here's permission to take charge of your career and make it work for you too. So how about you? Are you the safe pair of hands type? The type who tends to be the one pulling and holding it all together at work? You know, unofficially keeping the ship running, you just see all of these issues before anyone else and you just can't help get your hands dirty. You just cannot help yourself going out of the way and way outside of your job description, if you even have one. Even if you know that there likely won't be any recognition or praise or credit for all that hard work you do. And even though you might actually end up resentful and overworked instead. Now, this episode will also be helpful for those of you who are feeling, you know, fed up, burned out, you know, you're losing confidence in yourself and your abilities, and you're looking for some hope and some advice. So let's just be clear up front. When I say safe pair of hands, you know, if that is working for you, being a safe pair of hands, then no worries. This is not the episode for you. Some people kind of think it might be a compliment when they're a safe pair of hands. But here's the thing. First of all, if it is not actually working for you, being a safe pair of hands, we need to talk about it. But also what I often see that people who stay in that safe pair of hands role, they would never actually get to do their best and most exciting work. And you're kind of potentially being held back from growing because you're doing all the things you're kind of good at, but not necessarily all the things you're both good at and enjoy. So it's really, really important to talk about. Now, as a career change advisor, my clients are smart and accomplished people who already have a lot to offer, even if they can't always see that themselves before they work with me. But there is one particular group of people within my larger group of clients and within those of you who listen to this podcast, and this might be you too, and they're what I call the safe pair of hands people. And they can feel really stuck and wonder what their career change options actually are. And they also often struggle with confidence issue because of the power struggles and toxic company cultures and bullying they've been caught in and subjected to for so long. And that can make them feel really stuck and literally drained of confidence. And they also, and this might be you too, they also often stay stuck and feel stuck because they really struggle to identify the very nature of their career problems and of how much of a change they actually want and need, and also whether it's even realistic for them to move on. And the problem is that since they're already so exhausted and so fed up, right, They don't really know how to even approach their career change, especially if they don't get professional advice or they have a very structured program to follow. And what that means is that they often end up staying stuck. I see this with a lot of people. I get emails from a lot of listeners. They end up staying stuck in these really unsustainable, mentally draining, toxic scenarios, feeling even more resentful about having to stay there, but also at the same time beating themselves up for staying stuck. If you can recognize that cycle, then this is going to be a really powerful episode for you. I really want to talk about this really tricky type of scenario and how you can start handling it, because it's a scenario I've helped many, many clients escape from. And that's why I call it the safe pair of hands job trap. Obviously, like I said before, it goes without saying that if you are a happy, safe pair of hands, this episode is not for you. There's not necessarily anything wrong with being a safe pair of hands if it works for you, though it might mean that you'll never really explore your full potential because you keep just doing what you're good at, not necessarily fantastic at, and enjoy. But this is more about the dark side of being a safe pair of hands when it actually doesn't work for you and when it keeps you stuck. So if you're looking for guidance and maybe also permission to start moving away from that safe pair of hands job trap, or to be more than just a safe pair of hands as your work identity, or if you're in a scenario that is no longer working for you, and especially if you're also feeling very resentful and close to burnout, this is the episode for you. And if you know someone who feels like that, make sure you share this episode with them. You'll be able to chat loads about it. It's also for those of you who might secretly dream of breaking out on your own and starting your own business, but you wonder if it actually has what it takes, you know, the confidence to do that. What you'll also discover in this episode is that not everybody actually needs a massive career change in order to solve the safe pair of hands job trap issue. And why it's sometimes more a change within your career or who you practice with or work for, what kind of clients you actually have, as well as why how a portfolio career or even your own business can actually be the perfect solution for you. Now, as with all of these big issues that I address in this podcast, there is a lot to say about this. So if you want me to go deeper with any of this, let me know. In this episode, a little bit later, you'll meet one of my recent clients, Lauren, an Australian living here in the UK, because she really illustrates just so many of the things that are happening when you're stuck in a safe pair of hands trap, and also some of the solutions that work really well for her. But if you want me to go deeper with any of this, let me know. Remember, the most requested topics that I get would be turned into future episodes. So just get in touch with me over at thecareerchangepodcast.com. All right, my subscribers, they get the first tips for what kind of subjects we have here. I really want you to come away from this episode with permission to put yourself first. Shocker, right? Putting yourself first is not really how a safe pair of hands tend to think or behave. And I also want you to know that you always have options. Everybody has options. You do not have to stay stuck in what is likely already a highly unsustainable scenario for you. And the initial way of addressing your issues does not have to mean making, you know, taking crazy risks at all. I know that most safe pair of hands people, they're risk averse. So we'll talk about ways of addressing this that doesn't require crazy risks. Okay, that is absolutely possible. And meanwhile, I really want to send you a massive virtual hug. Let's take really good care of you, my friend. You deserve it. All right, so listen in. But let's just really go a little bit deeper with defining the safe pair of hands phenomenon. You know, the safe pair of hands professional, SPH, the safe pair of hands. That's you if you're really great at and cannot help yourself sorting out at work other people's messes, picking up the pieces after others, improving on things, keeping up the status quo, even while sometimes being the last person standing or left in the office. but you are probably also as a result feeling stuck in a stagnant role that's actually offering you little new challenges or rewards or the opportunity to really grow beyond your current capacity because you keep using all of these things and skills again and again. And you're probably also frustrated that your skills and your results and all that great stuff you do, it often goes unrecognized. And often you'll see others sort of claim credit. And the flip side of that is you might actually start questioning your own worth, your own abilities, and lose confidence. And the problem is here is that you're so good at what you do from other people's perspectives, those people who find it really handy to have you around, especially your boss and maybe even your colleagues. And it's so handy to keep having you do those things you're so good at that they actually make sure that you keep doing it rather than moving you up or on. And that might also be why when a more senior or more expansive position or project comes up, your boss or your company might actually bring someone else on or hire someone external or pick someone else from your team to take on that position, that promotion, that exciting, you know, team project. But they'll still throw you some scraps, enough scraps to keep you interested, or drops hints about potential opportunities, or they might even bully you to keep you where you are. And because they know that if they start softly or not so softly bullying you, you'll start questioning your skills, your value, and therefore might think that you're not really worthy of anything else or lose confidence or you don't apply anywhere else. And that, my friends, is something you want to be very careful of spotting and noticing. And actually start writing down whenever those things happen, whether it's the bullying or the passing over for promotion. Start just reminding yourself about what's going on here so you don't think you're going crazy. Okay, write down facts. But really, the way you feel and the results of being a safe pair of hands over time is very likely that right now you feel highly undervalued, overworked, and often, even though you're super smart, high achiever, overlooked for valuable promotions and exciting new projects because it's just so much more handy having you stay where you are because you're sorting out everything, right? You're like the house mama, so to say. And on top of that, and this is something I see with a lot of clients and I know from a lot of the emails I get from you, my listeners, there's also generally a really unhealthy, or let's put it frankly for what it is, a toxic relationship, probably between you and your boss, you and your manager, or you and the company. There is this kind of really real employee-boss dynamic that is really toxic. This is a classic thing I saw with Lauren that I'm going to talk about a little bit later. You know, Lauren, she went way beyond her initial job description, way beyond what she was brought on board to do. She pretty much run the shows. She's just been slowly taking on more and more responsibilities that are way outside of her official role. And also happily, her manager would happily pile on more tasks. And then he would sort of veer between either leaving her totally alone and just run the show, or he would go into modes of literally micromanaging her, not really doing the thing, but just sort of prodding at her to make sure was she really doing it, right? And one of the things I also saw with her and with many of my clients is that this manipulative boss would take credit for hard work. You'll see this with a lot of people. Your boss will take credit for your hard work. And at the same time, also not really give you too much recognition. So you start getting into this kind of twilight zone where this lack of recognition and your blurred boundaries can actually make you question your abilities and can cause some real confidence issues. For those of you who've written to me, Ricky, I'm starting to lose confidence in my abilities. You might be stuck in one of these scenarios, in a safe pair of hands scenario. But remember, it does take two to tango. So just remember, you are likely compliant in this behavior as well. And that's why it's so important that we start untangling you from there and having you move on. All right. So I think that the worst thing is when you find yourself with not just feeling frustrated, start questioning your abilities, feeling really fed up, But you will also get to a stage if you are in an unhealthy safe pair of hands scenario where you just start feeling really resentful. So resentful, hating the job, hating the boss, hating scenario, but also almost starting feeling resentful with yourself. And that can make you feel so, so trapped. Okay. Now, let's be really honest, because you are listening to this episode. I've got your attention. And if I described, you know, I could go on and on, but I think I make my point. If I describe the scenario you're finding yourself in right now, then it's important we talk about the cost of being a safe pair of hands, because the emotional toll you're paying, the emotional price you're paying, the career price you're paying is something you probably already been paying for quite a while, maybe even years. And it's something that will just escalate over time. So it's really important we get clear about what's really going on here and how dangerous it might actually be for you to stay, so you can really see why it's important that you start moving on. Because you deserve, my friend, so much more than a really unhappy SPH, safety of hands scenario, where you are stuck in that job trap. Now, there is really a cost to being the person running the show, whilst also not getting the credit for it and feeling really undervalued and overworked. And that's the fact that you can look forward to pretty much Groundhog Day. Because potentially your career growth will be pretty stagnant if you both having to do the sort of official job description and all the other things you cannot help yourself doing. And now you're kind of in this psychological contract that people just rely on you to do all of these kind of things. So what that means is that you can just look forward to many more days of this. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? So that means you can potentially keep looking forward to just more of the same. Keep being passed over for promotion, or see your boss or someone else bringing someone else in that you kind of then babysit and don't get credit for on top of that. The irony here is you're kind of running the show, but you're not going anywhere. Is that really worth it? Also, and I just want to talk a little bit more about this, because this is something I see with a lot of you. This safe pair of hands job trap is eroding the lack of confidence that you might have had. You start doubting who you are, what you're good at, you lack confidence in your skill. And also what I see with a lot of you who are stuck in these kind of safe pair of hands job traps, you start suffering from massive imposter syndrome. And then you think, oh my God, if I'm suffering from imposter syndrome, even this thing that I've been doing for years, how could I ever do something else? Now, one of the first things I noticed about Lauren, and I'm using Lauren because she's a client that I had recently and she fitted all of these boxes. So one of the first things that I noticed about Lauren, once we started working together and I got to know her better, was just how incredibly accomplished she was. When I asked her about her accomplishments, what she'd done throughout her career, she was incredibly accomplished in terms of getting results, and she had some phenomenal, very in-demand skills. And she was someone who chose to work with me privately. And so what I did was I made her fill out a number of questionnaires so I could really get to know her really well. And I was just, my mind was blown by the achievements she'd had, the things she'd done, the way she, you know, talked about how she used her skills, all of the kind of stuff that she just couldn't see how valuable it was. And the issue was she hadn't internalized all of those great achievements. She didn't own what she was good at, all of those great skills that were so in demand, also outside of her work. She literally, all she could see was the toxic scenario she was stuck in and the fact that she couldn't see how good she was because she hadn't taken the time to go through all of the great things she'd done, identifying her skills, you know, knowing what to call them, all the stuff that I helped her with. And really, what I also noticed is that when she talked about her boss took the chance at every stage to make her question herself and doubt herself in order to keep her staying. So there was a really toxic scenario going on. So instead of, before she worked with me, instead of really assessing what she had to offer and all of the great stuff she'd achieved, until she worked with me, she literally just purely focused on the mistakes she might have made or where she didn't reach the high perfectionist bar, and she just let herself be intimidated by this guy. Can you relate to that? I really see that again and again, imposter syndrome, in terms of not being able to identify and internalize and really own all that great stuff you have to offer. That is a massive issue for people who are stuck in that safe pair of hands job. And that is really, ask yourself, is that really worth it? You know, what are you actually getting out of staying there? It is a very dangerous, toxic price to pay. It is a career risk for sure. And that is something you'll just keep paying in terms of a price, right? I also see a lot of people who are stuck in this safe pair of hands job trap when it turns toxic is that they really have almost an inability to set boundaries. They're kind of the people pleaser type, a good boy or good girl kind of type. And that kind of contributes this inability to set boundaries and say no. That also contributes a lot more to this resentment, this overextension, you know, with nowhere to go with it. And I see a lot of people who tend to be stuck in these traps also tend to be very duty driven. And the issue is if you stay for somewhere so long, then you, like Lauren, for example, did, and what many of my clients do, they stay in this safe pair of hands job trap for too long. Then it can be really hard to untangle, which is why you generally do need to get out of it, because you have such a history and so many mental contracts that will just reinforce, you know, the eroding of confidence, the imposter syndrome, the lack of boundaries. And you really need to ask yourself if it's really worth it. Because if you think about it, you're really running a risk here career-wise of literally just risking it all for a job that's not even worth it, all right? I also will just touch that briefly. I don't want to go too big on that. I've mentioned that in other episodes. But obviously, mental and physical health use often come into place here. And that spills into things like your family, your children. You might even be the safe pair of hands there, right? That's a totally different episode. And this resentment often means that by the stage that you might listen to this episode or by the stage people come to me, you're potentially really close to burnout. And what that often means is that you might even feel like you have a life outside of work. It's just groundhog day going to that unhappy job. And then it's just recovery from work when you are at home. And I could give you plenty examples of that I've seen with my clients over the years, you know, in terms of how that impacts the couple, the marriage, you know, even getting, you know, a date, all of that kind of stuff, intimacy, anything like that. Let's just leave that for now. But I just want to raise it because there is a lot of stake here. But a really massive issue and why you are likely stuck is that still stuck, and why it's understandable that you're still stuck, is that this cumulative over years emotional toll and exhaustion, when it comes to career change, it can actually really impede clarity. It can make it really hard for you to come up for air, to even get any kind of clarity on what a meaningful next chapter would look like for you. It can make it really hard for you to figure out what your options are. And you can be so bloody tired that whenever it comes to thinking about a career change or a job change or starting your own business, you're just too tired. You might have a little bit of energy, then you start, then you stop, then you start, then you stop. And maybe deep down you believe you don't really have a choice. Maybe you then start going into this kind of, oh, but I'm just lucky to have a job. And then a little bit like you probably remember my episode on the Stockholm syndrome. Maybe you have a couple of great days and you think, oh, it's not that bad. But then it goes down the spiral again and so on and so on and so on. You need to focus on the cost that you're paying, the price that you're paying, the mental, physical health issues you've got, and also the fact that you are likely right now professionally stunted. You're not fulfilled. You're not growing. You're, you know, lack confidence in your skills, and that means you're staying stuck. Is that really worth it? I don't think so. And you, I'm sure deep down, know that it's not the right thing for you. So, but it's really important, and you will have heard me say this in many episodes, write down what it's costing you. And that sort of very much brings us to the importance of recognizing and addressing an unsustainable safe pair of hands job trap as early as you can, or before it's too late at least. Right? It is really important you get to that stage where you make that decision that enough is enough and you will figure this out. You will sort this out. Now, if, you know, this is a podcast that's aimed for professionals, for those of you aspiring career changers and entrepreneurs over 35. And here's the thing, if you're over 35, the emotional and career toll is accumulative. So if you don't decide to address this issue, then at some stage, the issue will catch up with you and will force you to address it. That's kind of how it works. You know, once you get past a certain age, you have to deal with these things because if not, they will catch up with you when you're not 25 any longer. So I'm really hoping that I'm catching you before you hit rock bottom, so to say. And I'm really hoping that I'm catching you so you don't have to hit rock bottom and get totally burned out, totally risking it all by staying in that job. Because burnout is real, okay? Really take good care of yourself. And here's the thing, a wake-up call, it does not have to be just one moment in time. So don't wait for some kind of crazy wake-up call. You can make it happen. Generally, what I see with people who are stuck in these unhappy scenario, there are two ways that wake-up call can come. Often, sometimes it's external, i.e. it's not up to you, so to say. It's kind of forced on you. Not the ideal scenario, or it can be internal. It is a decision that is made by you, which is what I would highly recommend, but you are in charge. You decide enough is enough. I will figure this out. So often what I see happen is that people in these really unhappy, safe pair of hands, job traps, and sometimes it's the external wake-up call. They might suddenly be surprised by being made redundant. It might be that, again, you were passed over promotion and then finally something snaps and you're like, I've had enough. Or maybe something happens in your life outside of work. There might be a death in the family, a close friend. You know, once you get a certain age, mortality, you kind of realize you're not living forever. There might be world events, you know, definitely when COVID happened, a lot of people realized their mortality, like, okay, this is it. I only have a limited amount of time. But something outside of you forces you or impacts that change, so to say. I don't recommend waiting for something like that to happen. Instead, what I recommend is that you make the internal choice, i.e. the choice to start making this change actually comes from you. Okay, you can decide that enough is enough, right? You want a more meaningful career or job, or you want to start your own business. You want something, you actually want to be happy at work within reason, of course, right? We're not talking rainbows and unicorns here, but you actually want more from your work. You want to feel valued. You want to do valuable work. You want to be recognized for your work. You want to work with something that actually interests you, with people who respect you. You might want more freedom, more enjoyment, more money, more meaning, whatever more it is that you want. You can just decide that you want more, that you're worthy of more. There's no right, no wrong here, but if you're listening right now, let this be your wake-up call. It is so much better that you decide you are in charge and you are in the driver's seat when it comes to your career change. Don't wait for any of those scary external things to force it on you. It's much better to start now and to be in charge. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how to start the escape process, or how to start the untangling the messes and confusions process. Obviously, timelines vary for people depending on how big the mess is. But the reason why I mentioned Lauren at the beginning as someone I want to talk about in this episode, she's just top of mind because I recently worked with her and because she pretty much ticked all of the safe pair of hands job traps. And because she's a great example of someone that it doesn't always have to be a matter of all or nothing scenario about risking it all in order to solve your problem. But I wanted to give you an example of how you can also solve your problem. So, you know, some of my clients, they make massive career changes. They start businesses or all kinds of things. And some of them, they just make a change within their career. They do portfolio careers, or they just have another job. Or some people even realize that their problem wasn't as big as they thought. There are so many, many different ways of solving these problems. But if you're really, really in a toxic scenario, then clearly something needs to happen. But it might not need to be as dramatic initially as you think. Okay, so let me talk you through Lauren's case, because it is just an example of a reasonable amount of change that is not too crazy. So I hope that you will feel that it is something that's doable if you can relate to a lot of what I'm going to talk to you about here. Your scenario might be different, but I want to use Lauren's example because I find that often when people, they start thinking about career change, they think all or nothing. And frankly, that can feel really intimidated if you are really exhausted and really stuck. So I wanted to give an example of someone who had a way of solving the problem that didn't mean all or nothing. So again, there are many other client stories. This is just one of them. Okay, so meet Lauren. So again, like I said, Lauren is a client of mine who worked with me through your career change map recently. She chose to work with me privately. She comes from an IT background. She's an Australian in London. A couple of things here will be changed for confidentiality reasons, but she worked in IT. She very much focused on systems and processes, and she's been working in the same line of work pretty much since leaving university. She worked with the big four consulting firms. She was a classic sort of came in via graduate schemes. And then for the last 5 years, she's worked for a smaller company. And the interesting shift happened when she was recruited into that smaller company 5 years ago. So she was recruited by a former senior manager who used to work with her when she worked back in one of the big consulting firms in IT. And he pinched her pretty much from one of those big consulting firms saying, hey, come work with me. I'm working with this really exciting smaller firm. I think you'll like what we're doing here. She was excited because at that stage, she's just had her daughter. And she was like, yeah, I want to move away more from the consulting firms, the big consulting firms, where they had crazy work-life balance. And then she went with this guy. So initially, she was given quite a vague job description, but she was obviously keen to leave the big four behind. So she didn't really focus on the small print, so to say. But here's the thing. Think about this guy who hired her. He'd already seen her in action. She knew exactly what he was getting, that she was a great, safe pair of hands. So I could already see that when I heard the story. But she did very much the same job over these 5 years, you know, in terms of her day-to-day work. But obviously, slowly over the years, she couldn't help herself picking up loads of other tasks, taking on more and more responsibilities. And people realized she was good at this and that. They just passed things her way. And also, she, you know, really that safe pair of hands. She would be pretty much unofficially running the show, pulling everything together, sorting out all the messes, even the messes people couldn't see, but she could see it even before everyone else. So a classic safe pair of hands job trap, right? And also she was quite, you know, really duty driven from a family background as well. So real issues with saying no, with boundaries, all of that. And she kind of also become known as that kind of person who just sort things out. And that is very much why, and to a certain extent that fed a need in her, right? But the result is that over the years, she'd become more and more resentful because she's literally now running the show for her manipulating boss who's taking all of the credit and who's used to her just taking orders and doing whatever he feeds her perfectly. She never complains. She never pushes back. And everybody else, just whenever something is not working, they'll go straight to her and she'll help them out, right? That is sort of the psychological contracts that is happening there. Meanwhile, Lauren is, of course, burned out due to an ever-increasing workload because they're making redundancies, so that less people do the same amount of work, and she's so good at it and she can handle it, so why don't we just give it to her? She's also really fed up with others being promoted or new hires being brought in for what she sees as more exciting projects. At the same time, her boss, you know, does feed her some crumbs and tell her how important she is to the company and you know, on some occasions, even how great her work is. But needless to say that this is where she's finally realizing that she needs to do something because also her health starts suffering and she has some family issues and she realizes she does not have the mental or physical energy to deal with them the way that she actually wants. So something happens with her daughter and at the same time, things are really cooking over at work. And that means is that she does not feel like she has the energy for either her work or her family. And what happens? And I bet you, you can relate to this. You start beating yourself up, both for what you perceive as being a failure at work or for the work not working, and also for not being there as much as you want for your kids, right? There's a lot more going on, you know, but I'm going to stop right there because I know a lot of you can relate, and also for confidentiality reasons, obviously, right? But there is a lot where you just get to the stage where you feel pulled in so many different directions and frankly don't know what gives, right? Needless to say, she, when it comes to her career, she feels stuck, and she almost like, it, again, it's back to this all or nothing. She either feels like, oh my God, I'm just should be lucky to have a job, I'm just stuck here, or she get into these kind of knee-jerk moves where she just dreams of chucking it all in or and just resigning and just, you know, running away, right? Those kind of scenarios. But she's also struggling to think of anything else she would like to do. She spends so long doing things she don't enjoy that she actually is struggling to think of things she would enjoy. She feels like she has some ideas, but she also feels like none of them really feel right or realistic and might not even solve her problem. And she cannot really see how any of the pieces can fit together and how her ideas could actually make her an income. You know, she has a family to look after. And at the same time, she also comes from a risk-averse family. And from what outside, you know, she does have what could be seen as a high prestige job. So she's kind of again, should I just be grateful for this job? Should I just suck it up? But then at the same time, one thing has always poked at her. She's always been very creative. When she was younger, she was very creative. She's always loved visuals. She's loved drawing. She's loved illustrations. And that creative side, she's always felt like she left part of herself at home when she went to work. That she sort of, that creative part of her, doesn't find any outlet whatsoever. And she's too exhausted to do it outside of work because then there's family to look after. So what gives? But at the same time, she's also confused because she has also a very strong analytical brain. She loves solving problems. She loves putting structures and system in place and sorting them out and working out better ways of doing things. So she needs a big intellectual challenge as well. So she feels very stuck. What does she want to prioritize? And that's when she came across my podcast. And she heard one of my episodes about this kind of thing about jumping, you know, from one idea to the other or doing all or nothing or feeling stuck. And but also she got very attracted when I talked about, you know, designing a unique career and unique business. And that's when she reached out to me and wanted to work for me. But I'm sure you can relate to some of these things about feeling totally stuck in terms of how do you solve this problem? So let me take you through how I started helping Lauren untangle those very confusing threads. So one of the things that happens when you work with me is that one of the first things I'll do is to give you access to a program that literally shows you step by step, or giving you a framework, a process step by step for figuring out how much and what kind of career change you actually need, i.e. what is your problem, what stays, what goes, and what do you actually build on. Now, that's absolutely key for the safe pair of hands drop trap, because you likely right now cannot see the wood for the trees and almost like feel like throwing it all away, but then don't want to do that because that's too risky, right? So one of the first things we really need to figure out is to identify your actual career problem, right? That's pretty much one of the first things we'll do. We'll identify your problem. What is it really that's going on here? Because if you don't identify the problem you got on your hands, you will just end up replicating the same scenario wherever you go. And that's not really what we're looking for here. And this is really vital because most people, when they are in an unhappy job, unhappy career, they almost naturally assume that a massive change is needed, right? That it's a matter of all or nothing. Or they sort of, because they're so exhausted, instead of actually identifying what it is that needs solving, they go into these kind of escapist or unrealistic ideas that they cannot see how that's ever going to work. So we look at identifying your problem first. And this is key if you are a professional. You know, you've got many years of work behind you. You might even have trained for it. Now, you can still, don't worry, you can still choose to have a massive change, but it's really important we look at, is the problem really with your entire career, your line of work, your profession, or is it just the work, the job trap you're stuck in right now? Because your line of work that you're in right now as a professional and with the money that it can demand could potentially be the very bridge that pays for your transition in some cases. And that is key if you want to do something very different, and it might not happen overnight. So it's important to realize, could we potentially use the profession you're in right now to partly use it as a cash cow whilst you also build and explore other things on the side? That, but also to realize, well, do you actually need a massive career change, or are we just talking about a change within your career, or should you start your own business? But it's one of the first things we'll do is we'll review your career and life so far to identify whether your real problem is just your current job, your current client, your current industry, your current culture, your current boss, whatever it is, or whether it's actually your entire line of work, your profession, so to say. That is the most important thing to figure out first, because that will let us know how much flexibility we have in terms of how you can make the transition, but it would also help us understand whether you even need a massive career change or not. Because once that's clear, then you can look at it in terms of knowing what the problem actually is that you want to solve. Now, here's the interesting thing with Lauren. When we actually looked at her career so far, all of the jobs she had had, what we realized and what she realized was that she actually enjoyed her work when she was actually allowed to get on with it. She actually enjoyed working with IT systems, IT processes, as you know, in sort of a consultancy capacity. She loved using her analytical brain. She loved tidying up things, improving them, setting up systems, restructuring systems and processes, all that geeky hard stuff that is so valuable. Where she got confused was that what she did not enjoy was a bullying boss, the toxic culture of the company, the horrible psychological contracts she felt that, you know, her and her boss had, and all of the safe pair of hands issues that caused her so much grief when they were being abused. Having this kind of clarity helped Lauren understand that one of her options could be to build on the good stuff whilst moving away from the bad stuff. And then, of course, also adding in missing bits because she was not feeding her creativity at all. We'll talk about that in a moment. But do you see how important that is? Now, obviously, the outcome for all of my clients are different. But for Lauren, what was interesting is what she realized with my help was that actually it wasn't her profession per se that was a problem. She was good at and enjoyed a lot of things to do with IT, a lot of the things she'd done throughout her career. What she didn't enjoy were a lot of what I call overlying factors that actually had nothing to do with her professional line of work, but that had everything to do with all of the bullying, abusive behavior, and the toxic scenario she'd also partly created for herself. Now, obviously, the second thing that I always love doing with my clients is to identify the skills that you can build on, right? What do you already have to offer? This is key if you're the safe pair of hands person, because we need to remind you why you are so much more than just a safe pair of hands, why you have so much more to offer than just your job description or your title. And you really need to identify that and own that and know what to call and make it yours. Now, this episode is already getting really long, so I don't want to go into a lot of details with this. I do recommend that you listen to episode 51 for more on this. That's the episode just before this, how to avoid starting from scratch after 35. I talk a lot more about skills and really identifying and owning that for you. So make sure you listen to that episode. But the identity shift is really key here, right? You are not just a safe pair of hands. And as a matter of fact, in Lauren's case, her biggest thing that she was amazing at, and then greater identity for her to embrace. She's a born problem solver, and her tool is IT systems. She is world class at streamlining or sorting out messy systems or implementing new systems, new processes, or sorting out messy ones. Now, that is a massive, highly valuable skill to have, and it's a highly priced skill as well. Now, who wouldn't like that, right? And once we've actually spent enough time looking at her career history, her results, her achievements, and the feedback she'd gotten that she actually did enjoy, that was when she was able to look past that toxic layer and realize, actually, I enjoy my profession as long as I can do it on my terms and under the right circumstances and with the right kind of work-life balance and all of that. So great. Lauren, let's make your skills work for you and give you more back. The great thing, like I said to Lauren, those skills you have, they're really, really in demand. And they're a great, what I call cash cow, a way of making money whilst you also explore other things and build other things on the side. So that's a great thing when you already have a profession, if we actually figure out that maybe a lot of the things you actually really like doing, it's just that toxic layer and safe pair of hands job trap that make you question everything. Now, again, that's obviously not the case for all of my clients, but for quite a few, this is actually, they have Lauren scenario where they actually do enjoy it, but it's all that toxic layer that makes them not being able to see that. What Lauren, though, didn't enjoy and what we did have to change was that she didn't enjoy a heavily corporate culture with, you know, crazy working hours, crazy competition, sharp elbows, loads of bullying, all of that. She wanted more variety. She wanted to explore a different culture fit to find a better fit. So initially, the way to start solving her problem was to do more of a change within her current career. And this is really where a portfolio career change can be really great, where you can look at working a variety of contracts, maybe some is part-time work, maybe some of it is setting up your own consulting firm or partner up with other people, and then at other areas that you want to explore later. We'll get there in a moment. But really, a portfolio career where you potentially say, okay, I'm going to start with using some of the highly in-demand, well-paid skills that I have for, let's say, part-time contracts or short-term contracts, whilst to explore different cultures, different companies, whilst I also add other things. Do you see what I mean? You're not just throwing away and going to a Starbucks. You're actually potentially using that great, well-paid profession, those skills, but take the skills that you enjoy and leave the rest. Because the problem for you, say, fair of hands, people, you have probably taken on board a lot of things that you're doing right now that you do not enjoy. So what I did with Lauren was looking at, well, out of all of the things that you do, what do you actually enjoy and just focus on them? So when it comes to contract work or when it comes to part-time jobs or even another, if you want to, full-time job, you focus mainly on selling yourself purely on those skills you enjoy or look for those contracts or start a consulting firm, whatever it is, however you want to play it, where you purely focus on them, the ones that give back, okay? This is really, really important. That can give you the confidence to realize you have a lot to offer and actually those skills you do enjoy, because we need to get you out of that toxic position you're in right now without throwing it all away and without you not having an income. So what we needed to do in Lauren's case was to find a client who will pay you for those great skills you already have and that you enjoy using, so you can free up time and mental space and gain back your physical health to explore the missing ingredients, because clearly with Lauren, there's still something missing that she wants to add to her career. And also for some of you, just that will already solve your problem. So the first step is really for her to explore options via portfolio career. You know, use the existing skills to snap up well-paid contracts with clear boundaries and a clear job description from day one, as well as other things, you know, in terms of the right kind of culture. So that is what Lauren did. Is actually she started looking for 6-month contracts. She pretty quickly landed one. She actually got several offers, highly in demand, so that she could hand in her notice. She already had something lined up. So, oh my God, the relief. The great thing was she could go, you know, she actually had a 6-month contract lined up, very specific skill set that she loved using in a company culture that was very different. She wanted to explore that, allowed her to make the jump. Now, let's look at the missing piece, because clearly, like I hinted at before, there was something else that Lauren didn't feel that she was getting in her career. So she was also curious about, what else could I do? What could be another kind of career change, or even my own business? What could be other things that I also could explore now that I know I have the money coming in via these contracts? So in addition to building on the skill set that she did enjoy, at least for the bitch job, she also wanted something more. She wanted to feel more excited, more meaningful, more creative. And this was where she needed a lot of help entangling her ideas, because most of her ideas were this sort of things like, oh, I want to start a charity in South America, or then her boyfriend was starting her own company in construction. Maybe she could work for him, but and sort of, or maybe open a cafe or this and that. But when I actually took her through those ideas, what we realized is that none of those ideas actually drew on her strongest skill set. They didn't have a creative streak. They didn't really result in the day-to-day job description that really would solve the problem that she was trying to solve. Or again, this, I see a lot of you have these kind of escapist fantasies, like opening a cafe or a quick fix, like retrain as a teacher. However, if you actually dig deeper, you know, you realize that actually what you want is not the job description that comes with that. For Lauren, what she wanted was deep intellectual stimulation as well as creativity as well. So we needed to poke deeper and look for the kind of ideas that won't go away, the red threads that keep coming over the years and poking at her. And this is also important for those of you listening. Probably a lot of the ideas that you have are either escapist, that you cannot really see how you can make money doing them, or how they can bridge between where you are right now to where you want to be, or they're kind of just quick fix ideas, or ideas that won't actually give you the job description of the day-to-day that you want. So be very, very careful with that. We need to untangle those. However, when I poked at Lauren, one thing that she did get honest about was that she was really keen to explore her creativity. She's always had a strong creative craving. She definitely had visual intelligence. She loved illustration and animation. She really loved it. And she also confessed she actually already had a few stabs at it over the years. But where she was stuck is she just couldn't see how she could make the bridge to a creative career full time, you know, right away. She felt it was such a pipe dream. And so this is the thing. Safe pair of hands, people. You people are often highly risk averse. So one of the great things for you is using your current profession to initially fund your creative pursuits is a really, really great idea. So if I, for example, had said to Lauren, oh, great, but you should just, you know, quit that job and start working in creativity. You know, it's your passion. It will pay. That would be something she would never do. And by the way, that's also something I would never say. I work with adults who have real lives and families and all that kind of stuff. So what we wanted to do was to create a safe space, so to say, for her to explore that creative side. So now that she knew that she could use her existing IT skill set to have money coming in, that now freed up the mental space and got rid of the fear, so she could now truly explore, well, if I'm going to explore a creative career, what would that look like? So for her, we initially settled on illustration, and illustrations very much of cookbooks, which was very much what she was really keen to do, and to start exploring what it would look like to have a career in that, start doing some work on a regular basis, but first just exploring on a, you know, on a weekly, daily basis, also starting a creative practice. So she actually got used to knowing and showing up for her creative selves on a weekly or even daily basis and start, you know, doing that. And then looking at, well, how can I monetize this? What kind of clients would I like to have? You know, start sharing, you know, her work with the world, whatever way that would look like. Because now we sort of got the money question covered. But that was, once we had that covered and we know what the problem was, she could allow herself to think creatively. So do you see how important it is that you either, in many cases, get professional advice or you have a very structured program to follow that will show you how to untangle all of these things and is also done specifically for someone like you over 35 who actually has a whole life and family or yourself to take care of. So this is why portfolio careers, where you do a variety of things, can be such a great stepping stone to greater autonomy for more exploration. However, talking about your own business, for some of my clients who are safe pair of hands, but are in the job trap of the safe pair of hands, what other of my clients, they realize they are already running the show. They're already bloody good at it, but they're not getting the credit and they're fed up. So obviously, once we went through this exercise of identifying their problem, they realized, yeah, heck, I actually really like what I do, but I hate my boss. I hate this company. I hate the way they do things here. My friend, if that's you, you are the ideal person for starting your own company doing that very same thing. Whether that's a consulting firm, whether that's a partnership where you gang up with others to run your own company or whatever it is. For some of you listening to this right now, you are already running the show, but you are not getting the benefit, whether they're monetarily or whether they're just the recognition. Why do you not start your own company doing it so you can get paid properly, choose better clients, and choose to focus on the few skills that you're bloody good at and enjoy? So with some of my clients, when we go through these exercises, we're like, whoa, this is obvious. You should be doing your own thing rather than trying to think of all those crazy escapist fantasies that you can't see how they can work. For Lauren, she wasn't really ready for that yet. She wanted to, you know, have more of the contract work, the portfolio career, to allow her some time to explore exactly what that creative streak was going to turn into work-wise. All right. Now, here's the thing. I want to give all of you permission to start that escape process, to realize that you potentially have what it already takes. You're already running the show. You could run your own company, or at least you can start doing it for someone else. Start getting those part-time contracts or short-term contracts to still have money coming in while you start exploring all of the other things. But find a client group that truly values what you have to offer, you know, a job, client, business that allows you to focus on what you're good at and enjoy. And the most important thing about getting you out of where you are right now, a new chance to start setting boundaries from day one and, you know, getting very clear rules as to what you're doing, what you don't do, what your job description is, what it's not. It is much easier to start redrawing when you go somewhere else. Okay. So there's so much more to say about this. And obviously, Lauren is just one client. There are many ways around this, but I hope that some of this will help you, you know, understand that there are many, many ways of solving your issues. What matters is that you figure out what is the nature of the problem you have in your hands, and that would then help us understand what options you have. And again, you know, some of my clients make massive career changes or they start a business, something completely different. But I want to talk about Lauren because sometimes things don't have to be that crazy. And most importantly, they can absolutely be realistic. So let me know if you want to talk more about this, okay? Just come over to me at thecareerchangepodcast.com, sign up for my list, and let me know what you'd like me to do future podcast episodes about. And of course, if you want my help with sorting out the pieces for you, then also come over and check out how you can work with me. But there are a few things I want to re-emphasize here before we wrap up this very long episode, but I hope you're finding it helpful. A few things to re-emphasize. Identity shift is really key for you here. I want you to know and own that you're so much more than just a safe pair of hands or your job description. You really need to realize that you have so much to offer, right? And that's really key because often the reason why you're stuck is because you think that all you are is just a safe pair of hands. And often you totally just identify with that job description or that title you have right now, and you are and can be so much more. And there is such a liberating effect that comes with recognizing and owning what you already have to offer in terms of expertise and value. And you can therefore shift into a much more powerful identity and own your career narrative, so to say, as opposed to just have it dictated to you by your current bastard of a boss or your current company. Right? And often I find that at midlife, it's really, really important to focus very much on those things, few things you're really exceptional at and enjoy at the same time. And that can be a part of the change versus, of course, also adding new things to explore on top. But what's so important is that they can really help, often though things you're already good at and have done in your career, they can help make that bridge to where you want to go next. So remember, be really careful with all of this all or nothing. And therefore, I have to say, Stock, you have many options. Often you are just not really focusing on the right kind of alternative ideas, right? And you cannot see a way to build a bridge, but it's absolutely possible. Like you've heard about with Lauren's case. Now, it is so important to start getting out of a super toxic scenario so you can gain energy, you can gain oversight, especially if right now you are so burned out that you cannot see the wood for the trees. Now, obviously, it's important that you plan that escape properly, and I do highly recommend that you listen or re-listen to my podcast episode number 23 about quitting the job, because it's important that you do it in the right manner. We don't want you to run any crazy risks here. Okay, so that's it. I hope that you really feel seen, you feel heard, and that you know that a change is possible. Things can get so much better. You are capable of so much more. It is possible, but take it in an intelligent, structured manner, okay? Now, the reason why I wrote this episode was because I only just a couple of weeks got in a voicemail from Lauren, and she'd gone on holiday, and she'd woken up a couple of days into this holiday and had this experience of feeling totally relaxed. And for the first time in decades, not worrying about work or not thinking about work and actually feeling kind of happy. So I get quite emotional because it was such a beautiful message. So she actually recorded this message for me saying, "Hey, Ricky, I just want you to know that for the first time in decades, I'm on holiday and I'm not thinking about work." She did that stage transition into the contract work for the new client. And she was like, "These people are really nice. They actually really appreciate what I'm doing. And thank you so much for your help." But what really touched me was the fact that she had got her confidence back. And she had a real example of her taking charge, her leaving a toxic scenario and proving that she can get something else. She'd also started exploring more of her creative side, doing more of a creative practice. And she was feeling really excited about the future and kind of happy. And Lauren, I'm sure you're listening to this. Thank you so much for sending that message. So I want you to know that that is absolutely possible. I want you to know that it's possible to wake up in the near future, having solved your problem and not having thrown it all away, but having done it in a grown-up manner and being excited about what's next, being excited about who you are and what you have to offer. So I want to leave you with that thought, you know, that you will be able to go on holiday and wake up and not worry about having to go back to a job you hate and that horrible boss. You are capable of so much more, and work can be excited again. So over to you. Now is the time when you really need to get honest about that safe pair of hands job trap, about you need to get honest about the fact that you need to start that escape. So get really honest about what's at stake and get excited about what's ahead of you. You have so many more options than you imagine. Everybody has a bridge job in them. There are so many ways to solve your problem, but you've got to identify what it is. And of course, if you need help, I'll see you over at thecareerchangepodcast.com. I'm sending you the biggest possible virtual hug. You've got this. Thank you.